Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rise and go. And we heard that, at least in some form or another, about three times in this gospel reading for today. And some versions simply say, get up and go. And there was no discussion. Joseph did it. Probably not understanding very much of what was happening at all, but he got up and he went just as the angel of the Lord had told him. Today, however, during these waning hours of 2019 and on this fifth day of Christmas, we may feel a little bit more like saying, my get up and go got up and went. Well, maybe that's just the way it has to be after all of the things that we do at Christmas time. But one of the things certainly this gospel reading reminds us of here today is that a lot of the sentimentality that is connected with the Christmas story simply vanishes when we realize that it was not something that was necessarily received very warmly at the time. Well, looking ahead into the new year that may seem for us in some ways just a little bit daunting. And looking back, we do see mistakes, failures, wrongdoing, not just in the world, but in our personal lives as well. So can we do it? That is, can we, along with Joseph and the Holy Family, get up and go today and in all of our following days? And the answer is yes, we can. Yes, you can. Because God has worked to fulfill his plans in the child Jesus, and it is the assurance that he will never fail in his promises. Joseph got up and started moving when he was told to flee to Egypt. There was real danger to the child and to his mother. Now, there had been the visit of the wise men from the east, but there was also the jealousy and the rage of King Herod, who would not tolerate a rival to his throne. And thus came the monstrous order, which was typical of this man, to kill all male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, to rid himself of this supposed king of the Jews. And these would be the first ones to shed their blood for the sake of Jesus. We call them the holy innocents. But there would be many more, as there are today. So the warning of the angel came to Joseph, and although it was, it says, in a dream, it was not a hallucination. It says the angel appeared to him. And the angel said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. In other words, get up and go. And he got up and went. Now, it's interesting to notice that in the inspired record, we have not one word that Joseph ever spoke. Not one. But we certainly have clear indications of actions of faith. Joseph simply did as he was told to do. We may be reminded of the words of the psalm which says, the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord's anointed, that is, against the Christ. But those same words go on to say, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The furious rage of the world's hatred of God and of his divine plans are a colossal joke that cannot succeed. God's plans will be fulfilled no matter what. Now, this would, however, be the way of Jesus, though, in his life. Hated, scorned, resisted, patronized, rejected, and eventually crucified. But not yet. God's plan would move forward in Jesus. He would live out his life for us. He would fulfill his mission to be the teacher sent from God. And eventually, he indeed would lay down his life, but willingly for us and for the sins of the whole world. God had a plan. He had a sense of timing. And it would all be his way, not the world's way. It would be His way. And it would be in fulfillment of prophecy, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, originally, of course, those words applied to the whole nation of Israel. But the Messiah would fulfill everything that God expected of His people. He would live out perfectly the destiny and purpose of Israel, God's called out people. So He too would go into Egypt and would be called out of Egypt. Well, something like this is repeated when it was time to come back from Egypt. After a time, and we don't know how long, the word came, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel." He said to go back home. "Get up and go." And he got up and went. Now, by this time, it was not exactly as Joseph might have expected. It seems that he intended to return to Bethlehem rather than to the more obscure town of Nazareth up in the north. But no, he was warned to go back to his hometown of Nazareth. And again, Matthew says, it is in fulfillment of prophecy, he shall be called a Nazarene. And we have a little problem with this. Because if you comb through the entire Old Testament, you will not find any prophecy that says he shall be called a Nazarene. But there is a little trick phrase here, because the root word of Nazarene is a Hebrew word. The word is Nazer, which means a branch, a shoot. And there are many prophecies about a branch or a shoot to come from the family of David. He would come surprisingly and from a seemingly obscure and unimportant little town of Nazareth, maybe to show that nobody is too obscure, nobody is too unknown or too unimportant that his love does not extend to them. So contrary to expectations, in spite of the determined and organized opposition, God's plan works. For the salvation of the world, nothing could stop it. God does not depend on any person or any government or any program to accomplish His purposes or to assure us of His divine presence. So we can say what we can do with the angel said, get up and go. Go in faith, go in trust, go in confidence. God will never lead you astray. God's plan will happen. It did, and it does. Now, during these waning hours of the year, we are marking time. Now, we know very well that the calendar that we follow is a humanly devised thing. This is not by divine right. And there are other kinds of calendars in the world as well. But it is a reminder that time moves ever forward. We can't stop it. We can't hurry it up. We can't slow it down. But no matter what, the words before us today assure us that we can get up and go, that we can move forward with complete confidence and renewed zeal, knowing that we never move forward alone. Now, what is ahead, of course, is unknown to us. And we know very well we will make various kinds of decisions in the year ahead. Some of them will be faulty and confused. But our gracious God can work even through our mistakes. He always does. We are assured that our gracious God is still at work in our world and in us. Herod and even Joseph had one idea. God had another. Guess who's prevailed? Of course, we know it was God's. Joseph could not possibly have foreseen the far-reaching results of everything that was happening, and we can't either. But God was steadily, carefully, wisely working out His plan of salvation for the whole world, even through what seemed impossible, or at the very least, very unlikely. There may be times in the new year, as in the past years, when we may feel that, well, nothing is just working out right at all. It may seem sometimes like a meaningless jumble of events, and some of them tragic and terrible, others joyful and wonderful, and many of them just kind of neutral. And it's true, we mess up sometimes. And it's also true that there are very real forces of evil at work in our sinful and depraved world. But God's word to us today is this: don't let it deter you. Don't fall asleep in guilt, despair, and dejection. Get up and leave it all behind with my forgiveness through Jesus, my Son, who took your guilt and punishment upon himself and paid its price on his cross and rose again. So move out and move on. Go. Your life is not to be static or backward-looking. Move forward and welcome the new year. You don't have to make sense out of everything that happens. Sometimes you can't and you won't. But my promise is real. I go with you, I will stay with you, and I will work in all things for your eternal good. Now, in this life, as we said, we are bound to time. We are mortal. But the eternal Almighty God is at work. It is sometimes very mysterious, hidden to our eyes and in ways we could never imagine. But Jesus is the assurance of his promises that they are all yes in him. There is an ancient prayer that is connected with the liturgical service of evening prayer that captures all of this very well. It says, Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, and through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading and your love is supporting us. That's all we need to know to get up and go. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand now and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.